This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott! I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, it's Monday. It's a football Monday, but yeah, yes, there's going to be a football Tuesday. I can't keep up. We hope there's actually going to be a finish to this season with what's going on with some of these teams and how COVID is starting to become a bigger issue for the NFL and all that other stuff. The NBA training camp starts tomorrow. What? Do I sound flustered? Like, do we have a lot of stuff happening? All is well. All is well.
I'll take it. And the Mets may be trying to get a trade for Snell. I don't know if I like all those picks that they're willing to give up, though. I don't know if I
the players
I
that were mentioned in that trade, huh? Like, yeah, all the different names there.
Just spend the money for Trevor Bauer if that's the case.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder if,
that's what
we said. Blake Snell, does he seem like a guy? We've gotten to know him a little bit. Is he a New York kind of media kind of guy?
He can be.
We know he can pitch. There's no doubt he can pitch, but you know, it's different in New York, man. Like, it's different. You take them out here. It's different. And he's a bit of a rabbit ears kind of guy. He does like to run his mouth some.
Yeah, but it's not that many rabbit ears when it comes to the Mets. The people
that will be. No, Sonny. The Mets are better get ready because they're becoming the it team again with their owner that he's terrific when it comes to communication with fans. He's a lot of fun. He's out there. You know how it is, right?
But there's no way.
Everybody loves them.
It is no way, Alan, that I'm giving away all the assets that they want for Blake Snell. And I'm taking his salary. No, I'd rather just go Trevor Bauer and again call it a day. You know, you talk about Trevor Bauer, you talk about Syndergaard, you talk about DeGrom, you talk about Stroman. You know, now you just got to put, now you can put Mats and Lugo into the bullpen and then.
I hope
Betances can come back and go out and get another.
I don't know
closer.
If Mats will be part of the future, but I get what you're saying.
Go get a closer. But yeah, I'm not giving up assets because part of what makes
this
team.
Can't Seth Lugo be your closer? In today's world, do we need a guy who, we don't need somebody that throws fire as your closer.
Right.
It's changing now. Lugo's proven to be a guy that's reliable, ice water. He doesn't get nervous. He's just not the typical, 100-mile-an-hour, blow-you-away kind of closer. But I think those guys are going away, too.
Yeah, but my problem is he can't go back-to-back days. That's the thing. He needs rest. So he can't be a closer because he's not good at coming back-to-back. So, I mean, if you got to go out and you go out and you get you a closer. But listen, we're going to start.
Man, I was going to say, how the hell are we starting here on the Mets?
I don't know.
But it's an interesting story, there's no doubt. But
I got to tell him how to get to us, though. I didn't even tell him how to get to us.
We didn't even give out the number yet.
I tell you, this is how
we
you
already
get
got people
us.
On hold, and we didn't even get
1-800-919-3776 is how you get on the lines. Get on the lines early and often. We're going to have Rex Ryan at 12 o'clock, but get on the lines early. And if you can't get us there, get us on the tweet at Bart and Han. And if you can't get us on the tweet, get us on Instagram. Get us on the gram now, man. Listen, don't be pointing no pictures of Nate Robinson going night-night. I don't want to see no memes.
Why did he wear blue and orange?
To get in the ring.
Why is he wearing
blue and orange? Right. Once again, to all the sunlight.
Exactly.
What happens is now the Knicks take another L because he had Knicks shoes on.
They have nothing to do with that.
Why could he get knocked out of some Chicago Bulls jorts? Why you got to come in there and put the orange
in Celtics? Why couldn't he wear green? Damn it.
Exactly, man.
Come on,
lucky. Maybe green would have been a little luckier for him. But anyway, if you can't get us there, Bill, tell him what else they can get us at. Oh, Bill's taking a day off.
So Bill, you
beat the Cardinals, and all of a sudden, I told you. Pay attention to what I'm saying out there.
You think about it. J-Dub said this in the pregame meeting, and it's like he said it, and it caught my attention. Maybe we'll call our friend Gambo and ask him how he feels about life. If not for a chuck and duck, spectacular catch.
Yes.
By DeAndre Hopkins. Spectacular catch.
One in a million.
They would have. Is it four in a row they would have lost?
Five in a row.
They would have lost. That's five. I thought they've lost three of the last four, if I'm not mistaken. But whatever it is, don't matter.
It would have been a lot.
That would they would have been on a losing streak, and maybe that narrative would have flipped. So we'll see if Bart ends up being right.
Let's talk about I'm usually I always am. I mean, that's what they call me, Bart Diamonds, because I see it before. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to pat myself on the back.
You say it early. People forget. Then they say it, and then they claim it. That's usually
exactly.
How that works.
But I tell you what, let's talk about the talk of the town. Let's talk about them New York football Giants. And listen, I don't want to hear about the record. Let's talk about our division-leading team that has an opportunity to hang a banner up there. This is going to be the first time that somebody hangs a banner and don't put the record up there. They just go hang the banner.
I'll tell you what.
We won it.
We're going to do something unprecedented because we're going to take a call real early because I have to because I see a name on the call screen. And I'm like, where's she been? And you know who I'm talking about. But before I take the call, I want to give you a useless stat. Can I give you a useless stat?
Yeah,
useless stat. Stats. This is why Anthony will be hate watching Monday Night Football tonight. And Anthony, we know, is trying to act like he doesn't care.
He cares.
He's got emotional abandonment going on with his football team. But there's a part of him that's almost like, he's like kind of like, you know, when you've been away and now you're like, you see her like walk by for the first time in a while, you're like, damn.
She's like, damn, she's been working out. She's been working out since she broke up with you.
Like, hang on a second, right? So the Giants tonight. If the Eagles lose to Seattle, and Bart, as an expert in football, could the Eagles lose to Seattle tonight?
I think it's an outsider's chance.
An outside chance?
That's me being sarcastic. That's tongue-in-cheek.
If the Eagles lose tonight, the Giants, according to Football Power Index, so you can see, Bart already just took off his sweater. He's all fired up now. The Giants would have a 40% chance to win the division, according to FPI. And that would represent the best chance of all the teams in the division to win it. How excited are you right now? How excited is Tessa from West Caldwell right now about this? Come on, Tess. First of all, happy belated Thanksgiving. And where the hell you been?
Listen, guys, I know I had to have emergency knee surgery. I've been KO'd. I've been asleep during y'all show. But I did finally get a chance to call a Michael K show, but you know I shouted y'all out and said that because I know you'd be listening, Alan. So I was like, I'm recovering from knee surgery. I was asleep, so I couldn't call Alan and Bart, so I'm going to call y'all. But
was it meniscus?
It's been crazy the past.
Yeah, what happened to your knee?
Was it ACL or meniscus?
It was a meniscus. It was too many tears in there, and it was just emergency.
Did they take it out?
The doctor literally. Yeah, he had to take it out. He was just like, listen, your knee's going to lock on you.
No,
and you're going to have to go to emergency room, and I know you don't want to do that during COVID. So let's go to this small surgery center, and let's handle this. And I was just like, fine.
You good now? You good, though? You feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm still laid up a little bit, but I'm walking, doing PT, and, you know, I hurt myself watching the games the past 2 weeks, like kicking in the air. It was just crazy. I was like making myself worse, but I miss you guys so much. I appreciate it, Alan, last week. You know, I was recording the show, so I heard my shout-out last week. You were thankful for everything, you guys. I appreciate you guys. I miss you guys so much. But I'm up and running a little bit, and I'm ready to roll. 3 weeks in a row, I don't know what to do with myself. And now that Daniel Jones hurt his hamstring, I'm like, please get a shot in it so we can just keep going because I don't really know what's going on with Colt McCoy. But listen, the defense was balling. The defense is balling. Like, the defense is us right now. We're going back to those old Giants doing our thing. Like, I can't even take it. Like, that last play of the game, it was just insane. Evan Engram still makes me want to smash my head against the wall. I'm not even going to talk to him about him right now because I don't know what to do with him right now. He's so dynamic, and then he's trash. How are you both? You know, just be one or the other. Be consistently dynamic or consistently trash, and I think I will accept that a little bit more. But I can't take both. But I'm just so happy where we are, the culture of where we are. One game at a time, guys. That's all I'm saying. One game at a time. That's all I'm saying. But I'm so proud of us, just the fight in us, and just everything we're doing right now. The culture is just a beautiful thing. I'm just so excited to be a Giants fan.
Yeah, you heard Tess reference Daniel Jones. So the MRI, reportedly, he'll get today on that hamstring.
That's not good.
And again, the report, was it... Jordan Renan, that it sounds like it's pretty bad, but Joe Judge after the game did say he's optimistic that he would be available for next week's game, and their next four are going to be tough. As we know, this could be the closest they get. We never know. But Daniel Jones has played well. Three straight games without a turnover, three straight wins. I mean, do the math. It makes perfect sense that he's starting to play better, and they're winning.
I never left the station with him. I just said I was off the train sitting on the bench. You know what I mean? But now I'm very afraid. Like, we have a chance to maybe do something, make some noise. And guess what I'm saying? Alan, you know who my two guys are forever. Eli and LeBron.
Yes.
Now I just hope people even extra appreciate Eli never getting injured, and we always could depend on him, because now we want to depend on Daniel Jones. And look, no, listen, I know he didn't do that on purpose, but I'm just saying how durable Eli was for 15, 16 years. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the type of stuff that I don't think people appreciate until now Eli's gone. I wonder like that. Now we're all sitting here, all the Giants fans rocking back and forth, nervous as heck. Like, we all nervous. Like, oh my God, we can't even beat Seattle with Colt McCoy. Like, are you kidding me? So I'm just afraid. I'm just going to pray for the best and just be happy with what we got right now, because that might be it right now.
Yeah,
I appreciate you, Tess.
Yeah, you look at what's happening, man.
You think about
Daniel Jones. You think about where he grabbed his hamstring. He grabbed it high. If it's high, that's kind of where you want it, because if it's low, it moves up before it actually moves out. So it's closer to his glute.
Well, if it's low, something snapped and it rolled down.
Right.
That's my experience.
So that's what.
Usually when it snaps, it ends up being a calcium deposit back of your knee.
That's not
a good thing.
Yeah, you're hoping that, you know, it's going to be at least 3 to 4 weeks. You know, so if they're going to get there, they're going to earn it. That's the thing, right? You know, you look at a team, you say they don't deserve to go to the playoffs because they're in a bad division, they have a bad record. But if they're going to get to the playoffs, they're going to have to get there as a team, because to get there, they have to either, one, beat Seattle, beat Arizona, beat Cleveland, beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, that's a tough four games here.
So if they beat them, they're deserving of going to the playoffs, because what they've done before isn't deserving of going to the playoffs. But if they beat a playoff team to get in the playoffs, then they're deserving of getting into the playoffs. Understanding, too, that every one of those teams that they're going to be playing, usually sometimes a bad team can sneak up on a good team, because a good team has everything that they want. They're already in the playoffs. They got their spot locked up. Baltimore is going to have to win all the way up to week 16, right?
Yeah.
Cleveland's going to have to win all the way up to week 17 as well. Arizona's going to be fighting tooth and nail to week 17. Seattle's going to be fighting to week 17, because they have to try and get positioning, because in their division, they lost to the Cardinals.
Yeah, they want that division, right?
Right, and they got to try and get that division as well, because they want people to have to travel out west with those elements. So if the Giants get into the postseason, it's going to be because they earned it and they beat a playoff team, and they're deserving of being one, no matter what the early schedule indicates. Now, understand that we got to kind of still pump the brakes a little bit. Understand that they did beat the Cincinnati Bengals without Joe Burrow, but at this point, you don't have to apologize for any wins on your record. You just say, hey, we found the way to get it done. We got to play better, because we put that same performance that we put out against Cincinnati, we put that out against Seattle. You know, that's going to be an L. But you got to say, hey, man, this defense is playing well. They're starting to figure it out. You got to tip your cap to Joe Judge, because he has these guys playing at a high level. Now, if they lose all four in a row, and then, you know, come in week 17 and lose to Dallas, we take all that back. We reserve the right.
800-919-3776. Let's get some more calls going here on the Giants. James in Rutherford. Go ahead, James.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Bart and Han. Great weekend for the G-men. Just wanted to say, you know, Bart, you're really getting better on the ad reads and everything. Really appreciate that. But real quick, guys, thank God we have super fans like Tessa. You know, instead of super fans like Ira from Staten Island. That guy is a complete bozo.
He's a Jets fan. Leave him alone. He's been through a lot.
Yeah,
we love him.
Every show has him on. They keep saying they're going to win every week. It's like, why are we having this guy on? Ira from Staten Island. Of course he thinks the Jets are going to play well. They stink. But I digress. Should the Giants keep going with Colt McCoy? Or should we look elsewhere? I know we talked about team wins. Maybe we can get somebody else. Maybe we can get a Kaepernick, perhaps.
At this point, with five weeks to go? How are they going to learn the offense? It's no way that you can bring anybody from the outside. You kind of got what you got, unless somebody's floating around there that knows your system inside and out. And if he knows your system inside and out, then he should have been your backup to begin with. So, listen, at this point, it's all hands on deck. You got what you got. It's not going to be anybody that's going to come and save anybody. It's nobody that's going to be picking up an acquisition. You know, maybe a defensive player that gets cut. Now, interesting, when I watched Green Bay yesterday, and of course they always beat the hell out of the Bears, and the Bears have lost five straight. But it's a player that's available that I feel that can make Green Bay a bigger contender than what they already are. We see Lazard. We know that Adams is a beast. You know, and sneaky good is Mercedes Lewis, because he's basically like having another left tackle that sneaks out every now and again and kills you with like a 5-yard out in the red zone. You look at Kenny Stills and the Texans parted ways, decided to part ways because he wasn't up and he was, you know, a healthy scratch. If you get a guy that's a deep threat like that to stretch the field for Aaron Rodgers, that makes him more potent and more dangerous, and that's a way to make Aaron Rodgers feel good. They wanted Will Fuller, but Kenny Stills is just like Will Fuller. He's just not as good.
Well, he's just like him, but not as good. What does that mean?
Well, he's alternate universe, right? Like we said before, Brandon Jacobs was a worse version of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's a better version of Brandon Jacobs. Both was able to dominate at spurts, but
Derrick Henry though he epitomizes what the Titans want to do, which exactly. is wear you down until the end of the game, where you're screaming uncle. Like the Titans are becoming that team. Like, I can't wait to talk to Rex about this, because like we'll have Rex on at noon like we always do on Monday, and that game for him, that's a game. I imagine for you too. We even talked about it on Wednesday. Our last show was Wednesday before the holiday. It was one of our Blitzer prevent games. Yeah. We thought that would be a great physical battle.
Yeah, it was.
And the Colts got run over in that game. And it was all Derrick Henry, and they're becoming that team as well to keep an eye on. But, man, they wear you down. But it's, like I said, a lot to get to in this weekend of games, including games that weren't played, games that keep getting postponed. We'll keep an eye out for Daniel Jones and the MRI and any results there. But that's obviously a huge part of now the Giants going forward, is because regardless of how this season ends, if Daniel Jones continues to, if he can keep playing, and that's a big if because we don't know, but if he can at least continue to play and finish out the season, whether or not they can win this division and make the playoffs, which still would be a miracle if you look at the schedule now that's remaining, it still, for me, is trending up for this franchise. It's still, to me, you're looking at Joe Judge as somebody who's very much in charge and has got this thing heading in the right direction, especially at the quarterback position. And they're going to get healthier next year. They'll get better next year because they can add talent. And the Giants are trending up. But obviously, we have to go the other direction as well, Bart. And we will get into the Jets and what we saw yesterday, including Adam Gase just reaching that point now of where it's either he's being completely rebellious or he's completely clueless. It's one or the other. But it's just not looking good for him, no doubt about it. Let's take some more calls here, though. 800-919-3776 on the Giants. James in Spring Valley. What's up, James?
Alan. Alan, or, Alan, thank you so much for the shout-out on Wednesday. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
Also, love the fact that, like, Tessa from North Cornwall, like, she's great with the big blue, just like I am. And, you know, and Alan, it's okay to jump on the Giants bandwagon, because we don't want you to suffer with the Jets anymore, man. We don't want that for you. You deserve better.
No, I need to suffer. The pain lets me know that I'm alive.
I digress. That being said, the Giants obviously are playing well, and it's fantastic. It's they're 4-7, even though it's a bad record. But we lost Daniel Jones, and I have a 2-part question. Number one, how can the Giants win going forward with Colt McCoy? Number two, has the Giants kind of figured out that if Daniel Jones really is the guy for the future? So it's kind of a 2-part question.
I think Joe Judge understands and sees the talent. It's just all about making sure that if he doesn't turn the ball over, and it correlates directly into wins. We know that he's an athletic player. That's why he hurt his hamstring, because as it gets colder and you sit on the sideline, you go out there, you try and run and get to top speed, those hamstrings have to make sure that they're all warmed up with the Tiger Balm. Me, I used to put the back plasties on the back. It was like a patch that you put on that kept your hamstrings hot with medication the entire time, because you get to top speed, stop starting. You know, we see this in baseball.
Pasties? Is that what you're saying?
Pacey patches. Front
it's
and
like
back.
Icy hot. You put the icy hot on your lower back, and you put it on your lower back, and it's like, did you just get a tat on your lower back? No, it's nice.
That's the crazy thing, right? Because, like, you know, what his strength is, and that's just his inexperience, understanding that when it's cold like that, what you have to do, you know, to stay hot. He may even have to go over there and be like Dennis Rodman and be on a bike. Because if you're a running quarterback, if you stop and start, that's why we see this happen in baseball all the time. We see
that was an awkward fall when he fell, like, when he went down, when he started to slide, it was kind of his foot got caught underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he took the step, it reminded me, when you look, when they did it in slow motion, it reminded me of when, remember when KD's Achilles popped?
Yep.
And you saw the calf, it like, kind of like, just,
rolled.
It just, like, shook for a minute.
Yeah.
His hamstring did the same thing, and that freaked me out. I was like, oh, that could be really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he came back in for a little bit. I know he couldn't move.
He tried to throw.
Yeah, and he still actually made the throw.
So, yeah, so what I'm saying is, what is he if he doesn't have that RPO run?
Oh, you're right.
Right, because now that just makes him a sitting duck. So now does that mean that he stands in the pocket a little bit too long? And then now you talk about all those fumbles that he's had because he does have the ability to get out of the pocket to throw it, because you have to get outside of the tackle box to be able to throw it. So this can be a serious injury, you know, far more serious. And he says, you know, the caller said, hey, how do you win without, you know, with Colt McCoy? That's tough because you can't protect Colt McCoy. You have to have Colt McCoy air it out because they don't have a strong running game. So it has to be.
Gallman had a really good game, though. They could have run the ball.
The good thing is they're going to have to run the ball if they're going to go against Russell Wilson. But the problem is, are they going to be able to put up enough points to keep pace with that explosive offense? And we're going to see if Bradbury, we're going to see what he's made out of, because, you know, he's going to be going against, you know, arguably the most difficult matchup in all of football.
They added McKinney, too. Another interesting young player finally gets out there on the field as well. That defense is looking better and better. Look, there's a lot of positives about the Giants. There are. The concern now, of course, is Daniel. Just as things are heading in the right direction, and these next couple of weeks would be a great test, the litmus test. Okay, how good are they? Are they getting that much better? Can they compete in these games like they have really most of this season? They have competed, and then now they're starting to turn those, you know, competing against good teams into winning games that they're supposed to be winning, and now they're very much in it to win the division. But the injury comes at a terrible time, and we wait now, if you're a Giants fan, with bated breath to see what the results will be of this MRI and how long, if at all, Daniel Jones will miss and the impact it has on this season for him. But still, things are trending up for this team. There's no doubt about it. Meanwhile, the Jets side of things, it's you continue to see it plummet. And yet, if you're a Jets fan, you're numb to it. This is essentially winning by losing. But the problem is that not only is Adam Gase, you know that he is going down with the ship, but he's taking people down with him. And one of them is Sam Darnold. I'll tell you something that I realized yesterday while watching the Jets. Something that I never thought I would think or say about a player I couldn't wait for them to draft. That I was excited that they had the opportunity to draft. But I felt this thing yesterday, and it made me sick to my stomach as a Jets fan. Just another day as a Jets fan. We got a couple of birthday shout-outs, Bart.
We do.
First, you hit mute.
Yep.
First one I'll do here.
You do one
is,
I do.
Is Will sent us a tweet about Tavon, who's a dedicated listener, and it's his birthday today, and he asked us. So Tavon, your buddy Will, is a good man. It's a good friend. He asked good us friend. To give him a shout out. So, happy birthday, T.
Happy birthday.
It's not the only birthday today, though.
Yes, it's Sagittarius season.
You got to see
my wife of 16 years birthday.
Happy birthday, Star.
Happy birthday, Garnisha
LaStar
Laquacious Scott.
Now, are you gonna put on all the sexy today for her? You gonna make dinner?
Phrasing.
Like, what are you gonna do? Because I can tell by the pajama shirt you're wearing that you haven't even like gotten out of pajamas yet today. So you
what happened was I was going to work out, and then she was like, "Hey, can you take Bryce, my son, our youngest, to school?" And it just killed everything. So it kind of jacked me up because I was going to try and work out. So I got.
But you're going to say yes.
Of course, I have to say yes. I already did it. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to be her manservant, and I was going to have all. But I wanted to make sure. I went and got my buff on first. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I went and got my buff on, but now I couldn't get my buff on. So now I look like a deflated Roy Jones.
Man, just do your 100 push-ups.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do 100 diamond. I'm gonna have to do 50 diamond push-ups and 50 wide, so I can get some some blood flow, and then go in there. And I was hoping to have the shirt off with a bow tie. Now I'm going to have to just cut the sleeves off because I don't want to show the midsection, because the midsection not ready yet.
No,
I still got COVID-10 on me.
You still got to get the girdle on. I understand.
Yeah. And it was Thanksgiving the other day, you know what I mean? So I got to wear the Spanx underneath there so I had that hourglass.
You had a good Thanksgiving? Everything was good?
It was good. You know, I slept because I did get up that
morning. Yeah, you were busy.
KJZ. Mm-hmm. So then I went to sleep. Then I woke up and then everything was done. It was good.
How was sweet potato pie?
She didn't make sweet potato pie.
See, after all that?
No, that's Mom Dukes. Really? Mom Dukes makes the sweet potato pie.
Still waiting for it.
Wifey makes, listen, Mom is always listening. Trust me. She going to get it to you.
That's
why
I said it. That's why I said it.
I might add a bonus to it because my godmother. Woo-hoo, yeah.
Oh?
She makes 7-Up pound cake.
Wait, what? Oh, I've heard of this.
Yes.
I've had this.
Yeah, but it's like a brick, man. It's like it's the most dense thing in the world. Like it's a pound cake,
yes.
But it weighs 10 pounds. And you try to figure out something so small weigh 10 pounds. Yeah, and what they do is they put 7-Up in it, so it has that lemony, zesty, bubbly.
Oh, it's insane!
Yeah,
yes, it's
man.
Super moist.
Yes.
Super moist with that little. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, Mom, if you're listening, mm-hmm. ask Odessa.
Okay.
Tell her me and Alan need freeze half of him and half of me. No mm-hmm. matter of fact, make two. Because they know
half because otherwise no, you
7-Up cake.
Be all over the place.
No, but the family gonna eat it and they're gonna be like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh
probably.
My goodness.
Well my kids anyway, like it's like we bring something in the house, they see it.
Yeah.
Like I'll have like the first bite and I'll come back and like, oh let me get some of that. It's gone.
Whoopsies.
Yeah, that's how it
like
goes.
Like that, man. Appreciate the cake, dog. Really, I appreciate the cake. I appreciate having some.
I appreciate that my son. He's going to Blue Line right now, Delhi.
Nice.
And he just said, for the first time ever, because he's coming back from his workout, and he never does this. He just usually comes home with like you know the stuff in his face with a bagel from Blue Line. He just texts me, "You want anything from Blue Line?"
Oh, man. See, that
and now I just remembered that he's had my credit card since yesterday when he
right.
took.
And,
oh,
and it's,
man.
And it's, and it's
now that's why he asked me.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing because Christmas is coming, so he's trying to be on his best behavior because he's like, yo, what's up? I need a PS5. Yo, what up?
It's the Xbox that it's. Then I just keep. Santa's not going to be able to get it because it's nowhere. It's nowhere to be found.
You need an Xbox?
Can one fall off a truck?
Holler at me offline.
I'm about to talk about that down the road.
You want an Xbox?
We'll get into the Jets. We got a lot to get to. We got to talk about a fight this weekend that didn't count, but yet it still entertained me. The Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr.
Yes.
We'll get into all that stuff too. We got your calls. We got Rex at noon. But right now, it is time for the Jets. No. We're supposed to do this at the end of the segment. Anthony, that's right, Anthony. I will not do it now because I know why we have to do it at the end of the segment. So, you know, first we'll talk Jets. That's what we're going to do. We'll grab some calls as well. So, Adam Gase is or is not
liar
calling
sorry.
Plays.
I'm sorry, right. Did I come up?
Oh. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If we could play this exchange between Rich Cimini, the best in the business, and Adam after the game, and then I want the BS translator after you hear this. Go ahead and play it, Anthony.
Adam, why did you take over the play calling?
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. He was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it. The drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays.
They
part
are
of the
on
game.
Him.
I want to say that was the third.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the 2 minutes.
Yeah. they were on
let's
him.
Go, let's go straight to the BS translator.
That was like piranhas. Give me the BS translator.
So this is it. So you bought the beer at 11 o'clock. I definitely bought the beer at 11 o'clock. So you bought the beer at 12 o'clock. Yeah, it was definitely now you know you're effed up, right? No. Because you said before you bought the beer at 11 o'clock. Now you're saying it's 12 o'clock. Which one is it? I don't know. And to quote the great Dave Chappelle when he was supposed to be the president and how he would react, you going to ask me this stuff in front of my family and everything? Sick of this.
This is absolutely like they are. This is when you know, like this is the time. Like when Isaiah Thomas was coaching the Knicks,
yes.
At the very end, when obviously when it was like, well, basically Dolan said, okay, you're going to have to coach this team because we can't keep firing and hiring new coaches. So you put this team together, you coach it, and he had him coach it, and of course they were bad as expected. And like you just knew the clock was ticking, right? and we just wouldn't let him get away with anything. Nothing. Everything he said, we would jump on him. And it was like, that's that moment where you just know somebody's on his way out. And they're just waiting for that time. Now, the question I'm going to ask you is why isn't it time now? We keep saying it, and my fear is that the worse this looks, now, again, nobody wants to see the Jets win at this point because Jacksonville keeps losing too. 0-16 is important. Strength of schedule-wise, the Jets, as I told you, still have the second toughest schedule left of any opponents, of anybody. Jacksonville, though, has the fourth toughest of any other team in the NFL. So it's not like the slimmest of margins. By the way, out of this list, the Patriots are considered the easiest opponent left on their schedule. The Patriots.
That's so, a good thing.
So anyway, fans want to know, why not fire him right now? Bart, why not?
Because if you fire him and Greg Williams coaches, he might mess around and win one.
His defense has been getting run, though.
Well, defense did great yesterday. Like listen, they got two turnovers, put the offense in position to score. They didn't score, but they got two turnovers, and they held Fitzmagic basically to 13 points. You know, they gave way, and I know they gave up a bunch of passing yards to Devontae Parker.
I mean, it's Brian Fitzpatrick. I mean,
yeah, but listen, they were 6-4 coming in. This was a team. This isn't
a team.
With
Tua Tagovailoa, though.
Right, but with Fitztragic, that's returning back to the scene of the crime, because that's a team that embarrassed you down in Miami, right? So, like, I think that, you know, listen, it's going to get uglier before it gets better. I don't want to mess this up. I want this team to keep playing horribly, so I don't want to fire Adam Gase. Listen, if we got to watch this crap, you got to watch it too, Adam.
I understand that, but everybody else is watching it, including prospective coaches, including Trevor Lawrence is watching this. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's the stuff that you have to worry about. Is your franchise continuing to be a laughingstock kind of franchise? That's bad for your brand.
But now,
go ahead.
They weren't the laughing stock 2 weeks behind Joe Flacco. And you understand that they're going to get an opportunity to have a lot of salary cap space. You know, a lot of the receivers, a lot of players that you see that's going to be on the Jets are playing for other teams. You like that Allen Robinson kid for Chicago? Looks like he's pretty damn frustrated with being there with those horrible quarterbacks, right? Guess what? He's available. Galladay, available. Juju Smith-Schuster, available.
But again, why are they coming here, though? Why would they want to come to the Jets?
Money.
If the team is embarrassing, though.
It's embarrassing now. It's not embarrassing when you think about the pieces that they can potentially add. It's not embarrassing, just like we see this with the Mets, right? The Mets are in a great position. Why? Because they have money in the middle of a pandemic. Just like a lot of football, basketball teams and baseball teams have lost money, so have football teams. But guess what? You're going to have more salary cap space. You have less money guaranteed to people than anybody else in the league. You don't owe nobody nothing. But you got a pocket full of money. So you get to go spend it and build it how you want to. And guess what? You have two first-round draft picks here if you're a coach. You got an opportunity to get a generational quarterback. If you're a coach that can get a generational quarterback and attach yourself to the quarterback that you want or keep the one that they have but then still have two first-round draft picks, that is a pretty damn sexy pick. Because guess what? If Joe Douglas wasn't here, guess who would be the number one executive up for all these jobs? Guess the name that we would hear. Outside of Lewis Riddick, even before Lewis Riddick, you would hear Joe Douglas. That's the name that you would hear for executive. You got him. Let him do his work. Because if you look at what he's done, Bryce Hall, you can say whatever you want. That kid competes. And he would have been a first-round draft pick. You got him in the fifth round. Yeah, you had to wait for him to get healthy. But who cares? You didn't want to use no trade off the tires this year anyway. He's going to be ready for next year. You got an opportunity to fill up this roster and get better quick. This is the same thing that Miami did. Miami's playing for a playoff game now, right? What did they do? They went out and found the quarterback this year, had a backup quarterback that was decent, and they went out and they got a lot of veteran players that have played well in this league. Mims is going to be a good player. Now, just imagine what Mims is going to be if you put him next to Allen Robinson and Zach Ertz.
I'm still, you're basing it on these players wanting I hope Joe Douglas has a strong enough resume and reputation around the league, especially among agents, that it won't be a you don't want to go there. That's where you know, good players, you take your money and your career then goes south. Like, that's not where you go to win anymore. Like, that's what I worry about. And look, let me add this part now. I'm watching this game and I'm watching Sam Darnold and I'm seeing all of the reactions to Sam. And I really can't help it. I've reached that point now. And after the game with him talking about how he's all, you know, he still believes in Adam, super confident in Adam. Stop it. I mean, you're doing that publicly.
They got the same agent, man. So, of course,
I understand. Right, exactly. He's got to publicly do that behind the scenes, whatever. But I never thought I'd reach the point where I look at him, I'm watching him, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? I don't believe in him anymore. This could be as good as it gets.
That's fair.
And I know my options allow me to feel that way, because if you get the number one pick, you come away with a guy who's generational. At the start of the season, Bart, you heard me. I was buying into your idea of trade the pick, you know, and build with Sam and give him weapons and all that stuff. But I'm watching a guy that I'm wondering, has he ever taken that next step where you really believe and say, wow, okay, I feel like this is the guy. I think Daniel Jones has shown me enough this year at times to make me say, I think there's something there. But Sam's got to stay on the field. I mean, again, it's 33 games out of 43 possible games. He's missed 10 games in 3 years. Yeah, his record is 11-22. And Adam, I know, the last 2 years, Adam's offense is the worst in the league. His red zone's the worst in the league. His third down's the worst in the league. Like, you know, like, so the offense could be all at fault here, but it's also the development. It's the availability, the durability, and the overall ability that I question. And that is making me now say, I'm ready to move on. And I never thought I'd say that about Sam Darnold. I watched him for 2 seasons at USC as a Jets fan and waited for the day. Said to myself, I wonder if they can ever be in position to get a quarterback like this, because this guy's got talent. But I see the same exact quarterback that I saw at USC. The YOLO throws, the over, you trying too hard, the not reading the pocket, not that he doesn't have that sense. He doesn't have that sixth sense of knowing there's someone about to destroy him in his blind side. Whatever it is, it drives me crazy, Bart. And it makes me wonder, did Adam Gase break him? Or has he never been built up to be the quarterback that the Jets needed him to be? I'm there now. And I never thought I'd be there.
Yeah. Well, he's really relatively a young quarterback. And I'm not saying young in age. I'm saying this is a guy that played linebacker. So he didn't play the position his whole life. So it's still a lot that he needs to learn. Like why he doesn't learn how to smoke the guys out. He don't do the small nuanced things, right? He doesn't change the pace. He doesn't go up to the line of scrimmage and hard count a lot. You think about, you know, how many times are you going to get caught with an A-gap blitz? Understand now, I know that's on the offensive line, but he should recognize it too. When you see a number.
3 years in. With all the studying he's been doing, 100%, he still doesn't come off to me as a guy who's in complete control of the offense. And is that the offense and the way he's being taught to him?
Right. Let me tell you something. Adam Gase offense comes off to me as I'm so smart. If I call it, it's going to work, run it. Where, same thing with Bruce Arians, right? If I call it, run it. It doesn't seem like, hey, I'm going to give you 2 plays. If this play doesn't work, go to this one. Get us in the best play, Sam, because we trust your football acumen. Uh-huh. He's still treated like a kid that's young that can't change plays. So I would wonder if that's the case. But listen, the thing is, it's not about what we think about Sam Darnold. It's about what everybody else thinks about Sam Darnold. And everybody thinks that Sam Darnold is just a guy that's not broken. He's a guy that's just in a bad situation, much like Josh Rosen. He hasn't had an opportunity to learn and be taught. So he's going to be, I think if you can't get a first for him from Jacksonville, I think you can get a second, which is a really high second from Jacksonville as well, if Jacksonville doesn't get the quarterback that they want.
Chicago's another team I'd watch, too.
And Chicago as well. And who knows if the Lions are willing to move off of Stafford, saying that, hey, he's really expensive. He costs a lot of money. Yeah. We're not ready to win right now. Let's go get Sam Darnold, and get him for a cheaper price for 2 years, and then trade Stafford maybe for a first round draft pick to New England.
You gotta check out this new Disney movie, Safety. This is inspired by a true story of Clemson's football safety, Ray McElrathby. I never say the name right. Start streaming exclusively right now on Disney Plus. On December 11th is when it begins. So in between watching Mandalorian, you can catch this as well. It's based on an inspirational true story. Is a former Clemson University football safety whose love for football challenged by his love for his family. Football is a big part of the film. Academy Award nominated filmmaker Reginald Hudlin told the story about brotherhood on and off the field and coming together for greater good, which is a message our society certainly needs right now. So check it out. Again, Safety, Disney Plus, starting on December 11th. Well, we watched this weekend, among many things, of course, Bart, was Mike Tyson back in the ring at the age of, was it 54, 53?
53.
And he fought Roy Jones Jr. is 51. Now, it's funny. I covered Roy Jones. I asked you this story with him a bunch of years ago. When he, remember, he was playing pro basketball. He was playing on like a minor, yeah, minor pro circuit. He would use it to stay in shape. Guy's a tremendous athlete. He's a little bit heavier than he was back in the days when I saw him. But he still can move. And I'll say this. It wasn't a fight for anything. But it was actually, to me, Bart, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
I really was. I was entertained by the skill that Tyson was showing, the quickness.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Roy Jones looked exhausted at times, which he probably was. But yet,
the first one.
He for sure looked like he was bare. And Tyson wanted to get through. He just wanted to go eight rounds because he could have probably murdered him like four rounds in. But Roy Jones, to his credit, sort of like, he had a couple of these moves. Yeah, he was crafty as hell. Like, you could see the athleticism was still there. And so, I got to be honest with you, Bart. I would watch more of that.
Right. Listen, and this is the thing, right? This is pretty much, to me, equivalent to the big three. This is the problem that all athletes have, especially ones who play contact sports. When you're done playing, there's nothing else for you to do. Basketball players can go play basketball at any Y, and it's not a problem to pick up a 10. It's easy to find 10 that want to play. You can go play in all these men leagues and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Golfers got the senior tour. Like, athletes that play contact sports.
Baseball players have their, like, they play.
Softball leagues.
You can either play softball or you play hard. Yeah, they still have that. Hockey, men's leagues still go on. Like, you see guys up in their 60s right, playing hockey still.
Football players and boxers have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you get depressed far quicker with the fact that you go from playing your sport to never doing it again. So, I mean, I think what Tyson is doing will give guys who need money, who may need something to push, to a reason to get out of bed, to get in shape. That's why you see athletes like, man, you see old boy, he fat as hell, right? That's because it's like nothing to do. It's nothing to push for. It's no goal. Before, you were playing for glory or you're playing for money. When they take the sport from you, it's nothing to play for. So it's nothing to get up. So going to the gym for me is painful because there's no end result. Right? The end result is, okay, you look good, you're healthy. Okay, big deal. I can't test myself against another person. We're warriors. We're used to competing, and there's nothing else to compete against. So, you know, I think what he's doing is great, and I think it can be a lot more money in it. Just think of what happened with this Versus. It started off as something cute, right? Now they're getting major money by making Jeezy and Gucci Man, right? We had Dionne Warwick and Patti LaBelle. Right? You, not Dionne Warwick. It was Gladys Knight and Patti LaBelle. And those are starting to get sponsored. Big things, because at the end of the day, their fans are still their fans.
Yep.
So I'm looking at the fact that, could you imagine if they start taking boxers? And I like what they did, because they made it about entertainment too. So they want to make sure that they can capture all the crowd, because you don't want it to look like a traditional boxing card, because traditional boxing cards, you can never compete with current people. So you have to offer everything. So they offer live concerts. That's one component of it. Then they offered, you know, like celebrity grudge matches, right? Which we all like to see. We like to see these people that may have had beef, whether it's like actors, reality stars, get in the ring and fight against each other. We see like when Refrigerator Perry fought Manute Bol, right? It was funny, right? It's entertaining, right? And like, you know, so
yeah, but it became
a clown,
you know,
show, right?
Yeah,
but this is a little bit more serious, because we saw Nate Robinson really get hit. It wasn't fake fight in there, but you can see that they were training. This wasn't Refrigerator Perry fighting Manute Bol and falling over the ring because he didn't train. These people trained for a real fight, and we got a real fight result. Now, we hope that Nate is okay, and, you know, they got him with the smell of salt, he's okay. You know what I mean? We hope that he's all right. He doesn't have a concussion. But we know what he put himself out there for. But the fact that maybe, just maybe, tell me, would you take this one? Would you take next fight? And, you know, they get the sponsors, how much money would be around? De La Hoya saying that he want to come back. And De La Hoya is like almost 50 years old in his mid-40s. And Floyd Mayweather saying, all right, you've been talking all this crap about me. I beat you at that age when we were still professionals. But now you're still talking all this trash. You know Floyd will get in shape in a second if it's $50 million for him. But you know if Floyd and De La Hoya get in a fight, that is going to be a real fight, especially if it's a sanctioned fight. Watching two old men that are equally old fight, it can still be competitive. Because at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the test of their wills and who's going to quit. And so I can see that next. De La Hoya, right? Winky Wright still out there. You know, as long as they find somebody equal, you hope that they won't get hurt as bad because, you know, they're equally diminished. So, I mean, I thought it was a great thing, and I'm here for more of it. And the fact that Tyson's, you know, being able to provide opportunities for people who may need opportunities, you think I want to see Let's Go Champ? I love to see Shannon Briggs versus Lennox Lewis get up in the ring. Them two behemoths that fought a long time ago to see who was aged the best. Because Shannon Briggs still got a six-pack. You know, Lennox Lewis lost his dreads and his gut.
It's, again, if they can. Now, obviously, some fighters have had enough damage where you need to be real careful getting back in a ring. But if they can. Mike Tyson looks terrific. He's a much different human being than he was, obviously, in his prime. He talks about it all the time. There's something pretty cool about it. He does it to raise money for charity. It doesn't seem like it's something that he's trying to do to get back and fight, you know, for a title again. I think for him, this is, I love doing this. People like watching me fight.
Fighters
and,
fight.
And it's, I thought it was entertaining. On top of the fact, was it entertaining, that he actually did afterwards admit that he smoked pot before the fight.
You know what I'm saying?
He said, absolutely, yes. He said, I can't stop smoking. I smoke during fights. I have to smoke. Sorry, I'm a smoker.
I wonder if he got it from Snoop. It'd be funny if somebody, like, doing it in between rounds. It'd be funny in between rounds if somebody put a weed up to the dude, like, oh, all right, cool.
By the way.
Stay off
no.
The weed.
No, not anymore. Not after 50. You do what you want when you're a grown-ass man. But let me, look, quickly, though. Speaking of Snoop, can Snoop stop trying to act like he's 20? Talking about how I feel like I'm watching my uncle's fight. Snoop, they're 2 years older than you.
Right. You got the chain. Somebody should tell Snoop that I love his hair. It's beautiful, but he's entering into...
He's looking more and more like Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He's entering into Jerry Rice phase where that hairline, them dreads start back. You might start dreading your hair to the front because you put too much weight on them, pulling them back. They're going to slip off the top of your head, Snoop.
I thought Snoop was a great part of the broadcast. He was funny. He actually was insightful. It was pretty good. It was an entertaining watch. The whole thing. It was a good thing. And maybe we'll see some more of it. You know, it did really well. I got a lot of Google searches. What was it, $50? I mean, it was pretty cool. So, anyways, will we see it again? That remains to be seen.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.